At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay, do you have any questions for me before we start?
Emily, you're the queen. I'll do whatever you say.
That is all I wanted to hear in life.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. You are listening to episode 116 of your favorite podcast. In this episode, I have the extreme pleasure to chat with Christine Kane. She, if you don't already know her, is an Australian-born, Greek-blooded lover of Jesus. She's an activist, an author, and an international speaker. What I really love about Christine is her ability to say hard truths in a disarming way. In a culture that is compromising in all directions, this woman stands firm and powerfully proclaims the gospel in word and in deed. She has a new daily devotional out called Unshakable. We talk about that. She also co-founded A21 with her husband, Nick. A21 is an anti-human trafficking organization that raises awareness, prevents future trafficking, takes legal action against the traffickers, and provides rehab for survivors. In this chat, we cover all that, plus her intensely broken backstory. It is really something. Her strategy to get ministry doors to open, and some hard but honest words about how painful the road to recovery is. This may have been one of my favorite conversations ever, and I rarely go back and listen to my shows again, but I am definitely going to be circling back to listen to this one once it's out. Before we get started, though, I want to tell you about today's episode sponsor, Preluvi. Preluvi is a family-owned holistic skincare company co-created by actually a nutritionist who thought, well, why are we like obsessing over what goes into our body, but we put just toxic, junky stuff on our body? So they worked to make great things to put on our skin. I'm a nurse. I know that it's the largest organ of our body is our skin, and it absorbs all the things. I do believe it's important for us to watch what we put on our bodies, and so this is a great company. They also donate money to fight human trafficking, so it's a purchase you can really feel good about in all the ways. I personally have the lavender beauty oil. It smells fantastic. Makes me feel like I am at the spa. But then if I open my eyes and see all the dishes and the laundry, I realize I'm not at the spa. But if I put it on and keep my eyes shut, I'm pretty sure I'm at a spa. I also have their earthy smell body butter. Love this earthy body butter. It's amazing. So they are offering a free shipping on your orders if you use the coupon code MSW. So go to preluvi.com and trick yourself into thinking that you're at a spa, all the while putting things on your body that are healthy for your skin. Do it. Okie dokie, artichokey, let's get right to it. Hi, Christine. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Emily. It's great to be on this podcast. That's awesome.
Yes. Well, I'm super thrilled to talk to you. I had a couple questions I'd like to start with. Who would you say is a hero of the faith to you?
Oh, wow. I have many. One for me that is major is my spiritual mother, actually Joyce Meyer, who's 74 years old and like runs rings around all of us in terms of her passion. You know, it's one thing to start passionately for the Lord. It's another thing to be 50, 60 years down the track and be more passionate than when you started and not cynical. It's actually really refreshing.
Absolutely. How did you get to know her?
Well, she came to Australia because, as you could tell by my accent, I speak the Queen's English because we're part of the colonies. You all threw the tea out, but we stayed under the Commonwealth. But anyway, I was a youth leader. So now we're talking over 20 years ago. And she came to speak and they needed a female driver to drive her. So because I was kind of a youth leader and the organizer of the event knew who I was, I got the driving job. So I always laugh and I go, servanthood is the way I've always had open doors of ministry. If you're willing to do what no one else is willing to do, you'll end up doing what very few others ever get to do.
Oh, I love that. So good. And I saw that you're like really good friends with Beth Moore. That's also not too shabby.
I think my greatest contribution to that friendship over the last 6 years is, if you've noticed, her hair has come down about 6 inches. Full credit for that.
So funny. I love that. Oh, man. We all have to have our contributions.
Yes, we do. That's like, you know, I don't have much else to offer up at that one. I do.
Stop it. Okay, so you have a new devotional out called Unshakable.
Yes, I do.
And I saw in the trailer for the devotional, you said, just because everything around you is going crazy, you don't have to.
Yep, that's it.
A lot of times we don't realize that. You know, we think we just have to get
sucked. A lot of times we just kind of go with it. I always say that to people. I go, look, everything is going cray cray. There's no issue about that, you know, politically, economically, socially, in our own homes, and you add children to the mix and spouses to the mix. It's easy to just lose your bearings. But then the Bible says that we have control over our own hearts and over our own spirits. So, you know, I say to my daughters often, I go, just because everyone in your class is going cray cray, you don't have to. You can rule your spirit.
Yeah. And so part of that is through these daily devotionals that you wrote to kind of help remind everybody of that. I think for me personally, I've learned a lot doing this mom podcast. What did you personally learn from doing this particular project?
Yeah, I could never have guessed how timely this was going to be, because of course I started it last year, and I've always been, a couple of scriptures have been very key to me. The two that the book is based on is out of Hebrews. It says only those things that can be shaken will be shaken, so that those things that cannot be shaken will remain. Little did I know how much upheaval there would be on the planet over 2017 and, you know, this whole year. But I think for those of us that are believers, you really have had to work out, what do I really believe and what am I going to stand on? Because all of the sand has been shifting this year. And then scripture also says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I used to think that's sweet until this year happened. And then it's like, thank God that he doesn't change. His character, his nature doesn't change. So I've always been a firm believer in being in the Word daily. I think just to keep myself alive. My background is so messed up that for me, it's not just that I'm a Bible teacher, so teach the Bible. I do it to stay alive. Like, you know, I can't even have two straight thoughts in any day. So when I started writing this, I thought we need every morning or sometime during the day a scripture and an inspirational thought. And the thing that I've learned is mothers do not have a lot of time. So you need to get to the heart of it very quickly and then allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in people's lives with it.
Yeah, that's really good. You talked about your past and it's less than ideal, really.
<Yes. laughs>
I heard that you said in some article that coming to Christ cost you your family. It was countercultural. It cost you a lot. And so that is why you are passionate about it, because it wasn't an easy decision. You didn't just get a feeling one day.
I come from a nation, this really good stuff here, where less than 2% of the population goes to church. So there is nothing cool about being a Christian. It's like, so you can't really get swept up in a cultural sort of, this is what you do because this is what everyone's done. So if you truly choose to be a follower of Jesus, it is going to cost you. You know, we come from a very secular, humanist world. Australia has been like that. You know, it's not like a religious culture at all. And so you have to really, really believe it and count the cost. Because there is a cost.
And I think in our culture, that's where we're headed, you know. And even if we can say we're culturally Christians and not feel like that's a problem, it's a problem to actually believe what the Bible says.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, what we've done is, with so many truths trying to be redefined over the last few years, you know, again, that's like the moral fabric of society is shifting. Yeah. And so a lot of Christians are going to have to really, really go to the Word and go, what do I really believe? You know, the Bible says, if you abide in the Word, then you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. A lot of us kind of quote, the truth will make us free. But it's like, you're not your interpretation of truth. The truth that's grounded in Scripture is what is actually going to set you free. So a lot of people that are espousing sort of free love, free truth, are not in freedom. They're actually very, very bound, because it's only the truth that you know from the Word that will set you free.
Yeah, not having a Bible in your house, not going to church on Sunday.
Exactly. It's not that. And I think we're way past that. And you're right. I've been living in the States for 7 years now. And, you know, sometimes when you come into a nation as an outsider, the lens through which you view the nation is very different to people that have grown up in it. And so the shift I have seen in terms of sort of cultural Christianity kind of dying. Thank God. Like, I'm so grateful that it has. Mm. You know, sometimes the hardest people to talk to are people that think that they're Christians because they're cultural Christians. And so what this is doing is forcing us to go, am I truly a fully devoted follower of Jesus? Am I truly living out the truths in the Bible, or am I just selecting what I want to be true? And that's why I think, you know, 365 devotionals, that's 365 different scriptures. And they're not like selective of what's going to make you feel good. It's what's going to help transform you and conform you into the image of Jesus, yeah, which is the only thing that's going to hold us in the days in which we live. The truth is, if we are not anchored, scripture says Jesus is this hope we have as an anchor for our soul, both firm and secure. If you're not anchored in Christ and his word in these days, you are going to drift off into false teaching. You're going to drift off into the sweet by and by. And I love people too much to throw out truth in the name of love. I want to get better at speaking truth in love. I don't want to throw out truth in the name of love.
Yeah, it's true. There's a way to win people.
Yeah. Yeah. I find people want to know the truth. You know, I'm involved in so many different things that we just had our global walk for freedom. Over 50,000 people walked in 400 cities, 50 nations. Well, it's quite obvious what I believe and who I am. I have found that I don't have to change my theology to love people better. People know if you love people. Jesus didn't change his theology, and he was deeply compassionate, and he healed people. He talked to the marginalized, the poor, the needy. He included everyone, but he also was extremely exclusive in his claims. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So it shows me that you can be inclusive, whosoever will can come, but entirely exclusive about the way to God, which is through Jesus.
So good. And it's hard, and we get confused, and we get afraid of hurting feelings and not being liked, but you're right.
Yeah.
You're so right. Ladies, I want to take a moment to tell you about Canvas People. They take your favorite photo memories and they turn them into art for you to enjoy every day. We are moms. We take 10 million pictures of the cutest humans that we know, and then we lose them when we drop our phones in the toilet, right? There's a better way, friends. I have their hexagon canvases on my wall, and everybody who comes over wants to stop and talk about them because they're amazing. Canvas People has served over 1 million customers, so you know that it's a quality product. It's made of high quality canvas, and it's made in the United States, which I love. They ship fast, and the finished product is spot on. Canvas People is offering Mom Struggling Well listeners this deal. It's an 11 by 14 canvas, which is really big, for free if you just pay shipping. These are usually $69.99, and you get it for free, 90 free. So to get your free 11 by 14 canvas, go to canvaspeople.com and enter promo code MSW at checkout. So that's canvaspeople.com, promo code MSW. Okay, so sexual abuse is part of your story as well. Yes. You wrote about that in Unashamed. Was that mainly where you wrote about it?
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking about it since I found out I was adopted. So I'm 33, I'm 51 now.
Okay.
So probably for the last 18 years,
okay,
I would rarely not include it in some way, shape or form in a message to help people know that they're not alone and there is redemption. You know, the blood of Jesus doesn't negate our past, but it gives us a life beyond our past. And absolutely, I think that's what's important. A lot of us somehow, I think sometimes, either think that becoming a Christian gives us amnesia and that being a new creation means what happened before doesn't affect us now. I've always been a great believer that the blood of Jesus gives us a life beyond our past, but we carry wounds and pain and we need to deal with it. Jesus can heal us. He doesn't often do a quick fix. Healing normally takes time. And if we are willing to embrace the pain of recovery of healing, then we will be healed. And yeah, I think I walk as a testimony of the healing power of Jesus to set us free.
Yeah, I think I'm currently going through some healing from past sexual abuse as well. And yeah, I think a lot of the people that are involved in that, a lot of people don't even realize that what happened to them was abuse, or they think it wasn't that bad, or they think it doesn't affect them anymore, but it does.
Yes.
And so I wanted to ask you, like, because it's a shame that is so deep in the fibers of who you are, and it changes your sense of your identity and your sense of God, all that. So I was going to just ask, because you have that as part of your story, what would be a good first step if someone thinks, I wonder if that was sexual abuse, I wonder if it does affect me, what would you say would be a good first step if they need to explore that?
I would say yes, 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 and yes. You don't even have to wonder, because it does. And, you know, I think no matter the very fact that you even have to ask the question, I wonder if, denotes that something has happened that's not right. And I'm a big believer in process, talking it through, and different levels require different input. I think at a very base level, you need to find a very mature, trusted Christian confidant, counselor, however that might work. And then in my case, I find that God at different seasons in my life has highlighted different aspects. I mean, he's so gracious. It would be too much to deal with the trauma all at once. And God doesn't want us to be re-traumatized all the time. I found before I got married was a time of intense healing because, you know, I didn't even realize at the time, but of course, coming into marriage and intimacy, I was going to open up a whole can of worms that I had learned to cope with. Then when I was pregnant with my first daughter, it was a whole new thing. My second daughter was another thing. And I think even more recently, each time I find that God expands our ministry. So whether A21 grows or just recently I went on daily TV, well, I found that the bigger my reach is out there, the more deep God has to go inside of me. And those times have required the help of a highly specialized professional Christian counselor that I've been able to talk through deep, deep wounding. And, you know, if you had told me 30 years ago when I started on the journey of healing that 30 years later, I would still find myself in a doctor's office going, okay, let's talk about something more. And I just find that there's just so much layer, because the core and the fabric for me, it started before I went to school. So, you know, it lasted almost 12 years. And so that, of course, there was so much developmental wounding. There was so much damage done to the fabric of my soul that, yes, when I was born again, and, you know, I always laugh because I love that phrase. I was left in a hospital unnamed and unwanted when I was born. So I didn't like the way I was born the first time. I really like, a lot of people go, I don't like the phrase born again. I'm like, I'm reclaiming it. I don't think Jesus could have said anything better. You must be born again. It's beautiful. But with all of that, I still carried so much of the trauma in my soul realm. I think where a lot of us get confused is God created us body, soul, and spirit. So we are tripartite human beings, and every part is important. And normally as Christians, we are so consumed with our spiritual development that we neglect the development of our soul. And the way I like to kind of word it is, if I came to Jesus and I had cellulite on my thighs, let's just say, okay, I came forward on a salvation altar call. I said, yes, Jesus. Well, after I prayed that sinner's prayer that saved me from hell and, you know, I'm into eternal life, if I go back to my seat, even after praying the sinner's prayer, I've still got cellulite on my thighs. And until I stop eating the Krispy Kreme donuts and get on the treadmill, that cellulite is coming to the grave with me. So we get that when it comes to your body, that just because my spirit's born again, my body's not born again. But I think we forget when it comes to the soul. It's, if my soul was wounded when I prayed a prayer to receive Jesus, my soul was not instantly healed after I said amen. My spirit was born again, but my soul was damaged, and I need then, and that's why I think Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You begin the process of renewing your mind, your heart, your soul, your emotions, your will, all the stuff that is your soul. Well, that is a process, and that's very painful. And I think a lot of us, we've learned to push down that pain for so long that when it rears its head, we either medicate it, we numb it, we deny it, we get busy. I think as mothers, we lose ourselves in our children, in our marriages, in our jobs. But more often than not, it's not even our kids, it's not even our spouses. It's the fact that we don't want to deal with the pain on the inside of us. And when I snapped my ACL and I came into rehab, the doctor said to me, Christine, most people do not recover from, I had a very, very severe injury. Most people do not recover from that injury, not because they can't. He said to me, in fact, after the surgery, your right knee is much stronger than your left knee, but the injury happened in a second and it was painful. The recovery is going to take many months, and the recovery is going to actually be more painful than the injury. So, Christine, you can either be healed entirely or partially. You can heal quickly or slowly. It's entirely up to you. The degree to which you are willing to embrace the pain of recovery is the degree to which you will recover. Mm-hmm. And I want to say to people that in our Christian walk, the fact is you've got to learn to lean into the pain with Jesus. And it's like any healing. If there is a wound, it's got to be cleaned out. The toxic mess has got to be pushed out. And then you apply the bandage. We put a Band-Aid on it before we clean it out. And then somebody presses the Band-Aid and whoom, it erupts, whether with our children, with our spouses, in our jobs, in our ministries. And I think we have to get more honest. It's horrible. It's messy. It's just like a wound. It's very messy. But you've got to be willing to say, I think Jesus said to the man by the pool of Bethesda, do you want to be made well? Yeah. And I think that's the challenge. It's very confronting.
It is. So for someone who, like, sometimes you can literally think you're going to die if you open that floodgate. Oh, yeah. So for someone who thinks that sounds well and good for Christine Kane, but I couldn't do that. I would never get up off the floor. What have you found as you have dared to lean into that with the Lord and go there with him?
I have found deep agony.
Okay.
You know, I want to remind anyone listening to this, I get it. You know, sometimes people will either hear me teaching or see that I'm an activist to help stop human trafficking, and they can assume a certain thing about my personality type. But what you have to understand is healing has nothing to do with your strength finder test results. It has nothing to do with your personality assessment on the DISC profile. It has nothing to do with your Enneagram number. It has nothing to do with your love language. Healing is not a personality type. Healing is a blood type. It's the blood of Jesus that sets all of us free. So then whether you're a 3 or an 8 on the Enneagram, or whether, you know, whatever your strength finder is, you have to know that it was as painful for me as it would be for anyone else. And it continues to be. The fact that my reach continues to reach and impact people, there is a direct correlation between the degree of pain I'm willing to embrace and allow Jesus to do in my soul, as there is with the reach of me. It's not just because, well, that's Christine's personality. I've been in more fetal positions, spiritually speaking, on the ground, begging God to deliver me from the pain as anybody that I know. I've been to more inner healing prayer, spent a lot of money with counselors to kind of deal with it. So I didn't get a free pass, and I don't get a free pass is what I'm trying to say. It comes down to the guy by the pool. He was so close to the healing pool, but he kept blaming everyone else. No one's here to put me in. You'd think after 38 years, he could have wiggled himself in and just fallen in. Sometimes I feel like saying that to some Christians. At some point, you go, like, you've been with the Lord for 20 years. At some point, either this stuff works or it doesn't. At some point, you've got to ask the question, am I more comfortable being a victim because people know me and that's my new identity? And it's a lot easier. And I think sometimes we wear our identity as a victim with more pride than we wear our identity as a daughter of the King, redeemed and whole. Very confronting, I know, but I think it's true.
It's absolutely true. And I think we get used to a level of healing and think that's as good as it can get. I mean, I think sometimes we just fail to realize that God is a restorer, like 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Not just like 20%.
And I think that's where the thing is, we become functional lepers. We can sort of function, but then something will happen and someone's going to pour that extra glass of wine, or they're going to medicate in a whole different way, or they're going to get angry with their kids. And you go, where did that come from? Well, where that is an unhealed wound. And we can blame everybody else, or we go, Jesus, I'm going to let you come into that place. And, you know, I think it's a trust issue more than anything. The scripture says that God is light and in him there is no darkness. I think to learn to trust that there's no dark side in Jesus, that's easier said than done. And I think for me, well, maybe that's just my own personal journey, but mostly I've had to fight to not get offended with God. I guess that's probably the best way to word it, of saying, why can't you stop this pain? Why don't you take this from me? Why did you allow this abuse to happen? Or why will you allow people to mistreat me? And I think sometimes we're so scared to actually own the fact that our hurt is with God, even perhaps more than people. And yet the Psalms are full of David kind of like, God, where are you? I'm going crazy here. What the heck's going on? I mean, I think learning to lament and getting honest with God in that way is the beginning of true healing.
Absolutely. Because he knows anyway. Who do we think we're fooling?
Totally. I think it's scared. I think you get scared maybe. I think I deal with this in one of the studies in Unshakable, because you're frightened that if I go there, everything else might be undermined in my life. But I think what you'll find is if you go there, all the false structures that you have set up will crumble. Absolutely, they'll be shaken. But you'll land, and then when you come to, you'll be like, wow, Jesus is this rock, no matter what.
So true. Okay, so 821, anti-human trafficking, is that kind of born out of your childhood abuse? Or where did that come from?
Well, I think God has redeemed it. I wouldn't have put the pieces together. But when I look at it now, when I look at, you know, there's so many correlations. You know, I found out my biological mother was 22 when she had me. I don't know who she is. I've never met her. But, you know, I've got the records. And my biological father was a 55-year-old married man. So when you think there's a 33-year age gap and he was married, she was 22. She had an elementary school education. She was an immigrant to Australia. It's kind of like whichever way you want to slice it up, she was vulnerable. And he was in some kind of power position. And certainly he was offering her something she thought she needed, whether it was either love or money, who knows what it was happening. But he certainly wasn't around for my birth, and all the documents and the hospital records show that. So when I think about this, I think, wow, he was a predator of sorts, no matter what, when there's a 33-year age difference and you're married and a watchmaker and she's an immigrant living in immigrant housing and has an elementary school education. I think you don't have to be a rocket scientist to join some of those dots. And then when I think, you know, that I was sexually abused by four different men for 12 years, several times a week often, I wouldn't have picked that, wow, God has redeemed all those broken pieces of my life. And not only did he rescue me, but now he's using me to rescue others. But when I was awakened to this whole issue, maybe 11 years or 12 years ago now, I had just had my second daughter, Sophia, and I was going to speak at a women's conference in Greece and saw these posters of these women and children. And it said, missing, missing, missing. And I thought it was so weird that there would be these hundreds of pictures of missing kids. And anyway, I went. That's the first time I went on to find out that these were the alleged victims of human trafficking. And to be honest with you, Emily, I did not know slavery existed still back then. I really didn't. I thought, this thing's done. We're way beyond this. But I went on to find out this was the fastest growing crime worldwide. And, you know, here we are. Then I didn't know what I could do. And often we're paralyzed in that moment because we're like, what can I do? And we think because I can't do anything, we end up doing nothing instead of the one thing that could actually activate something. So I knew I had a mouth. I knew I had the ear of a lot of women in the church globally. And so I began talking about it. Out of that, one thing led to another. And, you know, we started A21 10 years ago. 10 years later, we're in 12 countries around the world. Hundreds of people have been rescued. Dozens of traffickers are in jail. You know, we just had a walk for freedom with over 50,000 people walking for freedom in 50 countries. So I couldn't have guessed it, but it is a testimony that if you let God do a deep work in you, God will redeem everything that the enemy meant for evil. God truly will. I feel like Joseph in Genesis 50:20, he said to his brothers, you meant this for evil against me, but God meant it for this very purpose, to save many people alive. And I kind of feel like, wow. The enemy wanted to take me out right from conception, when my biological mother couldn't abort me. And then when I was left in the hospital unnamed, and then I was sexually abused, and now I'm rescuing those very same kids. You know, it's quite miraculous. Only God could do that.
Yes. Okay. But then the enemy prowls around looking for someone to destroy. You have got a target on your back and it's big. It's got to be.
Oh, yes. I'm a forehead girl. I'm a forehead. All my friends like targets over my whole body.
Yeah, and it's like glows in the dark.
Yeah, all of that.
So we see these leaders and they grow and God blesses their reach and then they fall because, like you said, like Joyce Myers, they don't end well. It's not easy to end well. So like, what protection do you have? Like, what do you not do or what do you say no to? Like, how do you make sure that you aren't the next one to fall?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've said for 30 years of ministry that if there is a disparity between your inner world and your external world, your world will collapse. So if you start teaching things that you're not doing, and if you consider your calling to be a career, and then you start doing things that are good for your career rather than being obedient to following Jesus and doing what he's called you to do, first and foremost, I am married to an unbelievable man, and we are, you know, co-laborers truly in this together. And so Nick is my very first check and balance in every way. So I'm very, very blessed in that way. And I've got a handful of extremely close friends that would call me out. And I'm not just saying this because a lot of people say it, And then you watch their demise and you go, no, it wasn't really what we all thought. But mine is really what you all think. Like, they could call me out. And I think I'm still submitted. I've been in one church for 31 years. And I think the very fact that I've had the same pastors for 31 years, if I was to start going AWOL, they would know. Like, 31 years is a long time for someone to know you. They've married you. They've dedicated your children. You've done life together. And so I've always been a very big believer in godly accountability, godly submission, and I think it has kept me. I couldn't have been derailed. And especially in the world of social media, the world of celebrity Christianity, I can't stand that word, but, you know, that whole, I think that's what you're alluding to.
Yeah.
I think you need enough people around you that have been with you on the whole journey, that knew you before and after, that just keep you on track with your call, so you don't turn this into a performance or a career.
Yeah. And it's tricky because our hearts are so deceptive that we just can really start thinking, I really kind of am something.
Well, it's true, because the Bible says, you know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The minute you start thinking you can know your own heart, God will show you what your heart's really like. So I find it's a lot better to deal with things quickly in private with God, so that you don't have to deal with them publicly before man.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so all your books start with un.
Yeah.
Unashamed, unshakable, unstoppable, undaunted. But you're still a person. So when the un is gone and you're just shaken and ashamed and you're just feeling like a bunch of junk, because I know that that's where a lot of my listeners are and where, frankly, I have been in the past couple of days. Obviously, you go to the Lord and things like that, but how do you get back to that solid foundation?
Look, I'm a big believer in it takes a village to do life. And I keep coming around to, you've got to have some good people around you. And it can't just be one person. You can't turn someone into God, because they can't be God. So if it was all Nick, I would destroy our marriage. And no one friend can be everything to you, nor are they supposed to be. You're setting yourself up for disappointment. So I find that routines are good, because they make me do things even when I don't want to do them. And I find that routines keep me on track. And look, we live in a world that is obsessed with feelings. I mean, you know, you go to whatever, Facebook, I think it's like, what are you thinking? Or Twitter, you know, what do you think? And I'm like, you don't want to know what I think. And so I don't spend nearly as much time on social media as other people, because I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself to vent what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling or what's on my mind. And I don't read things. Look, I'm a very big believer in positive input, positive output. It's as simple as that, that junk in, junk out. So I am very protective of my environment. So my environment, I'm very careful about what podcasts I listen to, what music I listen to, the things I taught youth in youth groups. Be careful what you're listening to. Be careful what you're reading. Be careful what you're watching. You know what? Basically, it's the same deal. And so I stay out of most Twitter arguments and fight and people venting. And I don't give my opinion on everything, really, unless it's kind of Jesus. I'm just like, you know what? Most things that people get all upset about are gone by tomorrow. You waste a lot of time and energy worrying about things that don't matter. You actually end up with a lot less anxiety, and you end up with a lot less depression if you just keep the junk out of your life. Like, okay, if you just go, I'm going to listen to positive stuff, I'm going to listen to motivational things, I don't deny the truth, but I don't have to immerse myself. I mean, what I do, it's got such an underbelly that if I just stayed in the details of trafficking, I could lose hope. I could be bitter. I could become really angry. But I want to stay hope-filled. So I listen to things, I watch things, and I talk about things that fuel hope in my life.
Yeah, it's so important. That is some dark stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, we're going to pause for a moment, and I get to tell you about episode sponsor, RX Bar. I don't know if you've had these, but they're amazing. I get them delivered to my house in big boxes, and I eat them all up. Well, listen, they have come up with ones for kids. The RX Bar Kids come in three flavors, chocolate chip, apple cinnamon raisin, and berry blast. They're perfect for any time. They can be in the lunchbox, breakfast on the go. We are usually having breakfast on the go because we cannot get in gear fast enough. So they're perfect for that, or an after school school snack or even in the glove compartment of the car for when your kids are starving and acting a little bit crazy because of it. So I am in this neat place where I get a lot of stuff in the mail that just comes to my door for me to try, and my kids get a little ticked off about it because that's not fun when packages come and they're not for you. So they were really happy when these kids' RX bars came, and they could not wait to dig into them and try them out. What I love about these is they are made with egg whites, fruit, and nuts. They're 7 grams of protein, no added sugar, no gluten, soy, dairy, or bad stuff at all. My kids really actually liked all three of them, but they did prefer the chocolate chip because they're kids, but they would happily eat any of them. And I have to tell you, when they're not looking, I will also happily eat any of them. For you who like the regular RX bars, these are great because they're a little bit smaller. So if an RX bar was hard for you to finish the whole thing, that wasn't my personal problem. But these are great smaller sizes and they taste fantastic. So you can find them at Target, or for 25% off of your first order, you can go to rxbar.com/MSW and use promo code MSW at checkout. So that's rxbar.com/MSW and enter promo code MSW for 25% off your first order at checkout. So it feels like, to me, on the outside looking in, that you're doing a lot, Christine Kane. And so how do you know if you're taking on too much? Because as your reach grows, so do the opportunities, all of which I'm sure are fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything is great. No. I say no 100 times for every one yes that I say. So again, it's like knowing what your divine assignment is, knowing what your calling is. I'm not trying to build a career. So the Bible says promotion doesn't come from the north, south, east, or west. It comes from God, and that God raises people up and puts them in place. If God puts you there, God will keep you there. If you put yourself there, you're going to have to keep yourself there. Mm-hmm. So I don't go trying to bang down doors. I don't even like the language build a platform, because I've never tried to build a platform. I tried to follow Jesus. And I find as I follow Jesus, he builds a platform behind me. So people go, you do a lot. And I guess I haven't thought about it. I guess it might seem a lot from the outside looking in, but I don't. My life is really simple for me, is that I do. Now, simple does not mean easy, but no follower of Jesus should have an easy life. I don't believe that. I think that it's a fight. We're fighting a good fight of faith. A lot of us are fighting fights we should not be fighting, but there is one fight that we should be fighting, the fight of faith. You know, the necessary implication is if it's a fight, it's not easy. So Paul says, fight the good fight of faith, which means I've got to get up and I got to get suited up in the spirit every day to fight. And so I think that pretty much what I do is I teach, obviously. I write messages, I write books, I do TV, I parent my daughters, but I'm a wife to my husband, but we have unbelievable team and staff. You know, I have over 100 staff in our 12 offices in just the A21 side of things. Then we've got Propel. So what I do is I've never believed that everything rotates around me. I've always wanted to create a pipeline, and especially for young women, to help empower women. So yes, I lead Equip and Empower, A21 and Propel. But within that, we have unbelievable systems and structures and people. And so I do only the things that only I can do, and everybody else does everything else.
It's hard to know what that is sometimes, I think, for moms as well. Like, you don't want, I struggle to say to my kids, you can do it, so you need to do everything, like raise yourself kind of, which is not right. But some moms want to get involved and do all the things, right? And so it's just, it takes a lot of, I think, discernment.
I think you just have to know, you have to be careful what is culture and what is God. So I'll give you the biggest example since moving to America for me. So taking my kids out of Australian schools and putting them into American schools. It's hilarious, the different parenting techniques. And so this is where you find out what's cultural, and it's not biblical, it's just cultural. So in Australia, your kid goes and plays volleyball. You don't even know. You're like, awesome. Did you have a good game? Did you enjoy it? Get yourself there, work yourself. Okay, you come here and I'm like, oh my gosh, the idol of sport. So I realized very quickly that I wasn't going to be like all the other mothers. So because you can't do everything. I think when you get a messianic complex and you think I'm going to be at all my kids' games and I'm going to work full time and I'm going to keep a clean house. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I want a life. I want to sunbake every now and again. I want to go to a movie. I want to see my friends. So what are the only things I can do? I can be my kid's mother and only I can be my husband's wife. So what does that really mean? Well, that means I can get some help with some other stuff. And you don't have to have money to have a help. I mean, before I was able to pay for help with a group of girlfriends, we would either carpool or we would take turns in cleaning each other's houses or do just different stuff that didn't cost money, but it freed one of us up to be able to do something else. So you get creative. And I did not go, wow, I'm a good mother if I'm at every game. So I would say to my kids, has God called you? So Catherine came to me, she just started high school, and she said, Mom, I want to do volleyball. I said, awesome. Do you believe this is part of your divine calling in God? And she just goes, no, I just want to play volleyball. I said, awesome. Do you think you're going to be an Olympic athlete when it comes to volleyball? She goes, no, Mom, what are you talking about? I just want to play volleyball. I said, awesome. So it's not part of your divine calling. You're not going to be an Olympic athlete. So here's the deal. I might get to one game, maybe two, if you're lucky. You're doing this because you want to play volleyball and you enjoy volleyball and you love the social aspects of it. And I want to encourage you and applaud you in all of that. I will make sure that you will get there every week. I will make sure that you will get home every week. But I am not rearranging my life and what God's called us to do around your volleyball, because next semester it's going to be soccer. And the semester after that, it's going to be swimming. And I said, so you will have things in your life that are ever changing, and you've got a life and you've got likes and you've got dislikes. And I don't want you to be like me. I want you to do what you want to do, but then you can't expect me. And I said, there will be some mothers, they live for their kids' volleyball game. And that's awesome. And I love those mothers. At the beginning of every year, I go to school and I hug every mother that volunteers in the lunch group. And I go, thank you. Thank you for helping my child. And they feel like it's their calling. And I said, because you do that and my child has access to you, then I can do what I feel called to do. What I do is no more important, because there's nothing more important to me than my children. So the fact that you would take time out of your day to go and volunteer at school and help the kids, my kids love the mums that come in, but my kids would never want their mother to come in. They're like, to everybody, you would not want my mother. She is way too intense. And I'm just like going, you know, everyone's gifted to do what they do. So for the mums that go, you know, Christine, I could never rescue the victims of trafficking, but man, I love to volunteer once or twice a week in my kids' school. I kiss those women and I go, thank you, because my daughters are better because those women see that as their calling. And I am able then to do what I do with my heart at rest, knowing some godly Christian woman that has prayed and that cares about my kids is going to serve in the school. So we can all do something that helps each other.
Yeah. What freedom to just say, I love you. I'll drive you.
Yeah. Or I might not even drive you. I'll make sure someone does. And so, and then my kids don't have a helicopter hovering mother and they're not emotionally codependent on me. I'm raising them up to be world changers. If you can't even figure out your emotional quotient about a sporting game, how are you going to change the world? Seriously. I'm talking about, we're rescuing Syrian refugees. We're helping kids that have been abused. I've got an 18-month-old from Thailand with a broken pelvis. You don't even want to know. And my kids know some of these stories, not the graphic details, but they know the big picture. And I'm like, if you can't figure out how to stay close to Jesus and feel emotionally secure with two parents who love you, with no abuse in your life, with access to every aspect of privilege in the Western world, then we are kidding ourselves if we think that same God can't meet you there. How is that same God going to help heal these children that have been so abused? And I teach my kids to think that way.
My goodness. I love it. We aren't sports family because I'm like, I can't do all that.
You go crazy.
But I love your middle ground. Like, you can do it, but I'm not also doing it.
That's exactly it. This is your turn. There's some things that we will do as a family. We will go to church as a family. There are some non-negotiables. We will eat together, and I travel a lot, so the way family looks for us is different than other people, but you just got to find what are the connection points that work for your family. And we are not a child-centric house. We are a Christ-centric house. Therefore, our house orbits around the call of God, and the kids know that. And my kids, I mean, if you met them, you'd love them. They love Jesus. The only way I can discipline my daughters is to say, you can only go to church three times, not four, on Sunday. That is like, if you haven't done your homework, you've got it, because they so love the house of God. They love the things of God. And they've got this great life because we're not weird and religious. We're free and Jesus loving. So that is a whole different dynamic.
Completely. Wow. That's awesome. I have one more question. We're almost out of time. What is something just in your life, maybe it's a new product or just some anything that you just can't stop talking about right now?
Oh, man. My little, hang on, where are they? My husband bought me for my birthday. Can you see these little ear?
Yeah, like ear.
The wireless. I've just got born again. They just go in. Okay. And why they're great is that you can put them in. With my hair, I cover my ears with these wireless ear things, and nobody knows that I'm actually listening, and they think that I'm really interested in everything. It's the best thing. Jesus. So my wireless earphones, they are, Jesus made these himself.
I love that. Yeah, you really can't see them. That's amazing. Are they an Apple product?
So you charge them with the same charger as my phone, and then you can just put them in and you're walking around and anything, I can listen to anything on my phone. It's awesome.
I'm looking into that. That is so cool. Awesome. Well, Christine, it's been a serious pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you. Yeah, I've loved it.
Well, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you it was going to be good. Go ahead and share this one with everybody you know, okay? So what will your strategy to struggle well be based on what Christine said? There's like 3 million things I could pull out of this, but I'm only going to give you a couple. One of your strategies to struggle well will be to listen to this again. Or maybe you have areas in your life that need healing, and up to this point you felt like you're just kind of limping along is as good as it's going to get. Maybe this week you make the difficult first step in the direction of healing, like more healing, knowing that it's not going to be a quick fix, but it will be worth it. Maybe you're in the middle of some healing already, and you're wondering why things are getting so much more painful. I hope you are encouraged by Christine that if you're in pain, you're on the right track. God is gracious and he does his work in us slowly, because if he did it all at once, we wouldn't be able to handle it. Maybe you feel pretty confident that your past disqualifies you from a life that truly matters. So why don't you get a pen out, or like a tattoo gun, and write this down. Christine said, "The blood of Jesus does not negate our past. It gives us a life beyond our past. Your story is not too broken or hopeless. If it were too broken for God, then he wouldn't be that impressive of a God, right? People often say that God turns our mess into our message. All it takes is us being willing. So go ahead and start being willing." Maybe you could identify with what Christine said about feeling broken to the point of death. What she did is she gets in God's word. She said she does that to stay alive. So this week, maybe you do that. You get in God's word, read one chapter of one book, find one thing, and talk to God about it. It may not seem like it would make a big difference, but what you've got going on now is not working either. So what do you have to lose? You know? What do you think about her way to handle being too busy with sports? I loved it. Too busy with sports is not a problem that we have at my house, but what a great way to handle it. I loved her perspective on how not everywhere in the world is as soccer mom-ish as we are. And I'm not saying soccer's a bad thing. I'm just saying we do a lot of time at a lot of sports in this country. She talked about some non-negotiable connecting points that she has with her family. Maybe you realized, hold it, I don't think I really have any non-negotiable connecting points. So maybe this week you call a family meeting, get everybody in the same room, and then decide on one non-negotiable that everybody needs to be at, just to kind of re-center and ground y'all in one another's lives. Christine talked about how she really protects the input that she lets in. What does she listen to? What does she watch? What does she talk about? Who does she talk to? Maybe you are kind of getting sloppy with what you take in. Maybe you make a slight change in that this week, and probably you'll find that it does a lot of good. Ladies, as always, go ahead and find me at Mom Struggling Well on Facebook or Instagram. I have a closed Facebook group, and if you get in that, you will know when I'm teaching classes or when Mom Struggling Well products are going on sale, all the things that will happen, all those people know first. So go ahead and get into that closed Facebook group. I am going to be taking people through the Wellness Revelation starting in January. I'm going to do it a couple times this year, but the ladies in that closed Facebook group knew about it first and basically took all the spots. So you can find out more about it at momstrugglingwell.com/ Journey. If the sign-up's available, then there's still a spot. If not, I'll be doing it again in March. Also, ladies, anytime you go to Amazon, it would really help the show if you use the affiliate link. The way you get to that is to go to my website first, momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon. That'll take you to Amazon, but it'll be using the show's affiliate link when you shop. It doesn't cost you anything, but Amazon gives a tiny portion of the sale back to the show. And that helps me pay my producer and all the monthly fees that come with putting the show on. Ladies, I hope this was as encouraging to you as it was to me. The day the show airs, I'm actually going to be hearing Christine talk at Dallas Theological Seminary, and I'm going to see if I can rush on stage and just like give her a hug real quick before the security takes me away in handcuffs. No, I'm really not a crazy person, but I am thankful for women like her and what they do to encourage the rest of us. All right, let me pray for us and we'll get going with our mothering. God, thank you that we cannot mess things up beyond your ability to restore. Thank you that you slowly and gradually in layers bring healing because you know how much we can handle. God, would you encourage my sweet sisters who are in so much pain, even though they know they're heading in the right direction. Lord, you're near to the brokenhearted. And some of the women listening, you are so near because they are really just gutted. God, would you bring comfort? You are the God of all comfort. Would that be palpable on them today? Lord, I pray for the sweet listener who is looking for a church home. She's decided that she wants to know more about you. She thinks maybe she needs a relationship with you after all. God, would you surround her with believers? Lord, the body of Christ is a beautiful thing. You did a great job making that up. God, would you bring her the most fantastical people to walk alongside her in her journey? God, I thank you for the listener who found her kid under the table covered in peanut butter. And instead of freaking out, she kindly and calmly talked to him about it. And he even said, "Mom, I'm so happy. You did not yell at me." God, thank you for those moments of encouragement where we see glimmers of hope that we are not going to continue to jack this up every single time. Thank you for the grace that our children give us. Thank you that a lot of times they forget about things real quickly, especially in the early ages. God, will you guard us from thinking that we are too far gone to ever improve or that our children are too far gone to ever improve. God, when our kids lie to us or are rude to us or disobey us or disregard us, would we not take it personal? Would we know they are just little sinners like us? We don't have to get so offended. We can just pray for them. And God, I'm basically praying for myself there because I take everything personal. God, thank you for women like Christine Kane who are so single focused on you that the rest of us cannot help but be inspired to do the same. God, would we all press on to be more fully devoted to you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.